Get going. Yes, you can say this before we start recording. All right, here we go. Let's pray again, and we'll get rolling. Father God, Lord, I do love you. I thank you for just the Passpoint class. It's been an awesome, exciting, crazy year, Lord, and just to be a part of what you're doing in this class and in this church, and really just in the body of Christ is amazing to be a part of. So, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us today, Lord. Just kind of put away the distraction as we've got, you know, just about 45 minutes or 40 minutes or so, Lord. I pray that you would just speak to us, Lord, as we wrap up the book of Genesis, the life of Joseph, Lord. And there's just some things that I do pray that we can be challenged with as we come out of this, that you would just be glorified in and throughout the way that we just study your word and just live our lives. So I pray you just bless your word in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so I do want to say thank you guys for coming and hanging out last night. Most everybody from Passpoint was there. There were some that weren't, but it was a really good time. I really enjoyed. It was kind of cramped at times, but hey, praise the Lord. So it worked out. So what?
I appreciate being singled out.
Meredith is actively. Meredith is actively preparing a extended testimony that she wants to share. I don't know. It's just taking a long time to put together, so I'm just kidding.
I am just one step at a time desensitizing you. So it's really for your best interest.
Right. All right. So I do appreciate you guys. There's a lot of times that you're in here or you're not in here, you're in the ministry, you're not, you know, there's a lot of times that just Brady's in here or just Holly's in here and you won't see them at all for a month. It's because they're mad at us, I think, but or Mitchell and Jody or anybody, they're just busy in the ministry. So I am glad that that we can minister together. I don't really see it as Paige and I ministering to you guys. It's not like that at all. I see it as this is what God has called us to do, so let's go do it. Not let's as me and my wife, but let's as a class go do it. Whatever it is that we're called to do. So there are new opportunities. There's new things going on all the time. But the one thing that God has told us to do is to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So we're not going to do that. We're going to get together, and we're going to talk about God's word. And you guys know me. I'm pretty black and white about it. So if I haven't run you off yet, I'm probably not going to, but who knows? So, I like getting into the word, and I like just calling it like it is, like I see it. So today we are going to finish up the book of Genesis, just like I promised we would. And so we've been going through the life of Joseph, and we're gonna kind of review this thing a little bit, because really there's not a lot in chapter 50 that we need to hit. So I don't even know if we're gonna read the whole thing, but if you've got your Bibles, turn there, and that's where we're gonna kind of base this out of. But what's that?
You missed the last 10 chapters.
I told you he skips all the time, right? So no. So I do have. I've been asking you three questions as we go through the life of Joseph. So you guys know what they are, and I'm not. I'll recite them, but this will be the last time you hear them from me, because the whole point of the three questions was to build you up to the point that Joseph was at when he had to decide, am I really willing? You know, what do I want? I had so many different chances to say, for lack of a better term, screw this. I don't want to do this anymore. This is not fun. I don't want, this is not what was chosen. This is not how I envisioned this, right? You've never thought that in life, have you? This is not how I envisioned this going. So there was so many different times, but the first question was, do you believe that God has a plan for your life, right? And I think we all agree that, yeah, I think God has a plan for my life. Okay, so that's great, because he does, whether you believe it or not, and we can talk about that on a different day, but God does have a plan for your life, right? And so the second question was, do you believe that God can use you in any circumstance, right? Because we think in the best of circumstances, right, when we're all prayed up and, you know, when everything is just right, yeah, God can use me. But what about the time that you're walking in your flesh and something bad happens, and the next thing you know, the circumstances are definitely not optimal? Can God use you there? Well, that's up to you in the end, but yes, the answer is yes. If you're willing and you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, yes. God can use you in any circumstance. God used Joseph in prison. God used Joseph no matter where he was, right? The circumstances were not optimal. But God used him because he was willing, right? And then the last question, and like I said, these were just all build up for the life of Joseph, right? Was, are you willing? Well, what was, how did I word that?
Are you willing to be used by God to accomplish?
Are you willing to be used by God to accomplish his mission? I thought I was getting two of them mixed together. Are you willing to be? So, yeah, I believe that God's got a plan, and yeah, I believe that God can use me. But here's the deal, and I'll just call it what it is because that's what I do. A lot of times we don't want to be used. A lot of times we're like, yeah, I know I can be, but I just don't want to be. I'm busy, that's uncomfortable, and somebody else can do it. You know, and maybe I'll get there someday, but I don't. Okay, that's why I'm asking the question, are you willing? Because a lot of times we're just not. We don't really want to be, right? And the thing is, at the end of the day, God has called us to do one thing, to glorify him, right? And he gives us a lot of different ways to do that. And if you're deciding not to, then that's on you, right? At the end of the day, that's on you. I can't want it for you, right? I used to tell kids that when I used to coach baseball. I used to coach my I can't want it for you, right? And that can go in a lot of areas in life, right? I got guys at work that sometimes just don't show up, and I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, you're not gonna have a job here anymore because I can't want it for you, right? And that can go. The same thing goes for this, right? I can't want this for you. You have to decide at some point. I do want to be a part of what God's doing. I do want to. I do. Give me my weapon. I'm ready to go shoot, right? Or whatever it is. I want that. I can't want it for you. Now, I do want it for you, but that doesn't do any good, right? And so at the end of the day, I'm not saying that I don't, but it just doesn't work that way. So you have to take that, and you're like, okay, yeah, I've heard that before. Okay, awesome. We'll get to that at the end. So those are the three questions, right? And so here was the outline. And today you're going to get the last point of the outline, and you're going to be like, wow, that's what it is? Yeah, it is. I stole it from Tom Ford, so be mad at him. But we'll get to it. So I've told you from the beginning that I stole this outline, right? So he started with his parents. I'm just going to kind of walk through this, right? So Joseph was the chosen child, right? If you remember, there was the two wives, Rachel and Leah, right? And then there was the two, we'll call them sister wives or whatever they were. I don't know how that all worked out except for, so there was four ladies. Two were his wives, two were his concubines or mate. I don't know how. Yeah, hand, whatever you want to call, I don't even know what that means, right? So there's all these different children, and there's only the two children from Rachel, the one that that he really loved, that, right? And so he's got Joseph and Benjamin. So Joseph was the chosen child. He was the favorite child, right? And he had the coat of many colors, right? That's what everybody remembers about Joseph. He had the coat of many colors, right? And the significance of that is, generally, the child with the coat of many colors. I guess the other coats are just black or something. I don't know. I guess they didn't have style back then. Black isn't style, right? But the coat of many colors was given to the one who would generally get the largest inheritance. So that entails why his brothers didn't really like it, that he was way younger than them, and he was given this, right? So you got to remember as you go through this, Joseph didn't choose any of these things for himself, right? It's just the hand that God dealt him. Now, being the favorite child, sometimes that's just the hand that God deals you, right? But his brothers hated him, right? And he hated him for it. So as you go down through it, he goes out to find his brothers, right? They're supposed to be out tending the sheep. They see him, and they decide, you know what? We're going to kill him because we don't like him. Because that's what you should do with all your problems. No, it's not. Just seeing if you're listening, right? No, so they're like, we're just going to kill him. So they've got this genius idea they're going to kill him. Then they're like, well, Reuben, the oldest brother, you know, he's not always the wisest, but sometimes. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Let's just sell him off, right? Let's throw him in the pit and let's sell him off. And then, so they throw him in the pit, right? And there's two things you need to remember about the pit. And if you didn't hear the week that we talked about the pit, you need to go back because there's a lot you can learn about the pit. It says the pit was empty and there was no water, right? And so you're like, well, that doesn't really explain much. Well, by what it doesn't say, it explains a lot, right? It says the pit. So he was thrown in the pit. So that's your second point, right? He's with his parents. Then he's thrown in the pit. It wasn't really the chosen way to do it. And then he's thrown in the pit. He gets pulled out of the pit, sold into slavery to Potiphar's house, right? And he's at Potiphar's house, and he's a slave, right? So that's not the chosen life. That's not the way that you really want to be, but it's how he was, right? But guess what? Just like always, God's blessing this guy's life. God's blessing this guy's life because he's just willing to be used, right? Over and over again, as you go through his life, he's just willing to be used. He's willing to be used. So Potiphar makes him like chief of his house, right? Potiphar makes him chief of the house. He's got everything that he had was his, other than his wife, right? The only problem was his wife wanted Joseph, right? So if you read the story, you find out that he goes into the house to do his business, whatever that means, and she accuses him of, well, first she wants to sleep with him. He doesn't want it. He wants no part of it. He's like, hey, your husband's given me everything except for you. I'm good with that, right? And so anyway, she accuses him of rape. So no longer is he with Potiphar. He's thrown into prison, right? So you've got the parents. He's in the pit. He goes to Potiphar. Now he's in prison. He's in prison, you know, and immediately he's made like captain of the prison, whatever that means, chief of the prisoners. Like, I still think chief of the prisoners is not really the greatest thing in the world, but I'm just guessing. I've never been there. Don't plan on going there. And I'm just kind of walking through this thing. So he's in prison. God has ordained this thing from the beginning. Now, you don't know that until you get to the end, but he sends Pharaoh's butler and baker down there, right? Because he's mad at him. And Joseph interprets some dreams, if you'll remember, and the dreams were spot on. Pharaoh calls him back. He chops the one's head off, or he hangs him, or whatever he does, and the other one he restores back, just like the dreams were interpreted, right? And you're like, what does this have to do with anything? Well, God was doing something. If you'll remember, Joseph told the one, he's like, hey, here's the only thing I want for interpreting your dream. Just remember me, just maybe put a good word in for me to Pharaoh, right? Well, he totally forgets. I'm sure that was just, you know, coincidence. No. It says 2 years later, you know, Pharaoh had a dream. And then I think it was the butler. I've got him confused now. But he says, oh, yeah, I was supposed to tell you about this guy. It's only been 2 years. I remember now. He interpreted my dream. Maybe he can do yours. So they call Joseph out of the prison, just immediately out of the prison, take him up before Pharaoh. That's got to be a crazy day, right? You go from thinking you're never going to get out of this prison to Pharaoh wants to talk to you. That's probably not good news. I'm just guessing. So he rolls up. He talks to Pharaoh. Pharaoh has a dream. And I'm trying to expedite this because you guys know the story. But I kind of want to walk through this because we're wrapping up Joseph as we do this. So he goes before Pharaoh. Pharaoh dreams the dream, right? If you remember, there was like the seven seven really big ears and seven bad ears and seven really fat kind and the seven not so fat kind, right? And so the dream was Joseph interprets it. He says, hey, what's going to happen is there's getting ready to be 7 years of plenty like there's never been before. We're going to have more than we've ever had. But after that, there's going to be 7 years of famine, worse than we've ever had. So much worse that a year into this thing, we're all going to starve if we don't do something. So I'm sure, like I said before, it was just coincidence that God just happened to put Joseph in the right place at the right time, because that's how God works, is in coincidences, right? No. That's not how God works, right? Just so you know. So Pharaoh says, hey, you seem to know what you're talking about, so I'm going to appoint you the corn czar. Well, that's not what they call him, but that's what I've called him, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to collect some of the corn, some of the extra of the first 7 years, and we're going to use that to survive off of for the next 7 years. And I'm Pharaoh, and I'm lazy, and I don't want to do that, so I'm going to have you do that for me. And so it just happened to be that way, right? Awesome. So fast forward 8 years, they're in the first year of the famine, and Joseph's brothers and dad back in Canaan are like, hey, we're out of food. I hear there's food in Egypt. Go buy some. They come into town, right? They go to buy food. Joseph sees them, and he knows them, right? And so kind of make the long story short, there's the several trips back and forth where they go to buy food. Joseph never really tells them who he is, but he knows who they are, and he is trying to just kind of feel them out about their feelings on life in general. Hey, your brother that you killed, and hey, you know, how's your dad? And hey, can I get Benjamin to stay with me? All the different things. You can go back and read all the story. Anyway, go to chapter 45. I told you to go to chapter 50, but go to chapter 45, right? Genesis chapter 45:5. This is where this thing finally comes to a head. Let's go 45:4, right? He finally reveals himself to his brothers. This is like their second or third trip there, right? It says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. It's like this whole several chapters has built up to this, right? He could have been so mad, so anything, so hacked off, and this is what he's got to say. He says in verse 5, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. And they're like, what? Right? He says, for God did send me before you to preserve life. God did send me before you to preserve life. He says, you know what? At the end of the day, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. You know what? I could be mad at you. I probably was mad at you. There might be days that I'm still mad at you. But today, I realize that God used what you did. God used what you did to save not only me, but you and my whole family. He sees things big picture. He sees things, hey, I remember back when God told Grandpa Abraham, or I guess it'd be great-grandpa Abraham, that we had this land and this seed, and if we all starve to death, that's not going to work out, right? God had a plan, and he's using me. It hasn't been the greatest ride. It hasn't been the greatest thing in the world, but the last couple years I haven't been too bad. You know, I'm like Pharaoh's top dog. So, but God did send me before you to preserve life. And at the end of the day, that's where you have to insert yourself into the story. You know, it's a really good story. It's a really good, you know, whatever, until you get to this point and you have to think, okay, is what I'm going through being used by God? Is what I'm going through, is it a trial or is it tribulation? And what's it from? Is it because I'm in some sort of sin and God's punishing me, not punishing me, but rebuking me? Or is it because God's using me? And sometimes that's hard to know that, you know what I'm going through, this is really okay. It was okay for the first however long. I get it. God was using me. Okay. Use somebody else, God. Right. Use somebody else. Cause I'm just done. Right. I just need it. I need things to be just a little easier, a little, okay, I'm done. Right? But that's, well, you have to insert yourself. Who knows what God is using you for? You might be like, well, I'm just me, and I just, whatever. Okay, well, you know what? I'm just me. And Joseph was just Joe. Right? And at the end of the day, whatever it is, and you might be like, well, things are great in my life. Okay, awesome. How's God using that? Right? At some point, you have to understand that God did send you. Right? And I know that's not proper English, but I'm just switching up. God sent you to where you are right now for a purpose. Right? Whatever that means. God sent you to where you are right now, and it might be to get trained up. It might be to learn. It might be to minister. God sent you to where you are right now for a purpose. And if you don't believe that, then there's some other issues. But you have to get to that point, right? That you are where you are right now. All the good decisions, all the bad decisions, all the anything else that got you, okay, those don't matter. This is where you're at. So now what are you going to do? Right? And so he's in the palace, and that's where we're at. So fast forward to chapter 50. That's where we're at. We're going to wrap up today. Actually, I'm going to read verse 33 of chapter 49. It says, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, if you'll remember back from last week, he went down through the list of his sons and listed out their blessings, how their life was going to live out, right? And so when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into his bed, and he yielded up the ghost and was gathered into his people, right? So that's all it is. You just pull your feet up into bed, and there you go. I guess that's how it works, right? Chapter 50, and Joseph fell on his father's face and wept on him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him. For so were fulfilled the days which are embalmed, and the Egyptians mourned him for 70 days. For 70 days they mourned for this guy that they didn't even know, because they had so much respect for his son, Joseph, right? Now that right there could teach on its own, but I'll let you just do that on your own. But Is the way that you live your life enough to impact people, to respect your family, and anything else, right? So anyway, so fast forward, right? So I'm gonna kind of skip over a lot of this, because basically here's how this chapter plays out. I want to get to the end, and I want to kind of just wrap the whole everything up together. So if you'll remember back, Israel told Joseph, "Hey, you can't bury me in Egypt. You got to bury me with my fathers," right? You know, if you remember the cave, and we'll get to that, where they buried all his fathers, right? So he goes to Pharaoh pretty much, says, "Hey, am I allowed?" You know, because he might be, you know, like captain of everything in Egypt. He's still basically a slave to Pharaoh. He says, "Hey, am I good to go with my father, or take my father and bury him? I'll come back." Not only does Pharaoh say, "Yeah," but a lot, let me find where it says, I'm sorry, I got to find it. Verse 7, "And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh." I'm guessing that's a lot of people. "And the elders of his house, and the elders of the land of Egypt." There's a lot of people that go with him just to bury his father, all out of respect, right? So anyway, they go out, they go, and they bury Israel, right? And they come back. There's a lot going on up to that point, right? There's a lot of words. So go to verse 15. "So they get back to town, back to Egypt. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said," because these guys still ain't got no peace about what they did to Joseph, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which he did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin." At least they're calling it for what it is now. "For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spoke unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And then this is just really cool what Joseph says, right? Because these guys still haven't got over. They think, well, now that dad's dead, he's going to finally come back for us, right? He was just playing nice until, no. Verse 19, it resembles a lot of what he says in 45:5, right? Because he's got big picture. "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." He's like, you know what, guys? What you did was stupid. But God meant it for good. I am not mad, right? God's using me. He sees things big picture. He doesn't see things for the circumstance he's in. He sees things big picture. He says, God's using me. He used me to get us here. And it's been a rough life, but that's all right, because this is where we're at, right? And so let me just read the rest of the chapter, and then I'll just kind of go from there. Verse 21, "Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly unto them. So he's like, not only am I not mad, but I'm going to take care of you, because that's what I'm going to do. Verse 22, and I think there's something to be said, because there was a lot of to-do about the dying of Israel. Of Jacob, right? A lot of chapters worth of he's getting sick and he's going to die. And there's like 4 or 5 verses that talk about the death of Joseph. You go from him taking care of everybody to he's gone. And I think there's something to be said about that. So just kind of think that through. It says in Joseph, verse 22, "And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he in his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children," that's his oldest son, "of the third generation." So he got to see his great-great-grandchildren, right? "And the children also of Micah, the son of Manasseh, were brought up under Joseph's knees." That right there tells me he really enjoyed time with his family, right? 24, "And Joseph said unto his brothers, I die." Okay. "I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry up my bones from hence." And verse 26. This is just the craziest way to end the book of Genesis to me. It's just crazy. It says, So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And it's like, what? That's not how is that how you're going to end this thing, right? And it's just always just really, it's not set well with me, right? Because it's like, that's just crazy. You spend so much time throughout the entire book, you know, once you get past chapter 11 about the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and now Joseph. And, you know, there's this big to-do every time, you know, one of them or their wives dies and where you're going to go and bury them, this, that, and the other. And he dies, they embalm him, they put him in a coffin. And it's just like, and I don't want you to take this wrong, but I heard Tom Fort put it this way. And it's just very pointed, right? So he starts with his parents. He's thrown in the pit. He's sold to Potiphar. He's thrown into prison. He spends a lot of years in the palace. But you know where he ends up? Just like all the rest of us, in a pine box. At the end of the day, you know, and you might be like, well, my coffin's not going to be pine. It's just, it's the sentiment, right? That's how your story ends. At the end of the day, you're in a pine box. You're put in a box, and all that's left is what people remember of you. It's no longer what you can do, it's what you did do. And at any point, and I know that this isn't the way that we should really look at life, but at any point, today could be the last day. And there's a lot of times that we're like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do better at that. I'm going to get things right. I'm going to do that when this happens, when this happens. Well, at the end of the day, you're only remembered for what you already did, not for the things that you're going to do. Nobody remembers the guy who was going to do this, and then he died. They remember the guy who did that, or the gal that did that. Right? And it's not so much about, I don't want people to remember me, I want people to remember Christ. But at the end of the day, they're not going to remember you for your good intentions. They're going to remember for you the things that you did. Right? And God can use you, but at some day your story will end. At some day your story will end. So here I've got three questions I'm going to ask you just to wrap up Joseph's life, wrap up Genesis, to wrap this whole thing up, right? And we're going to get done on time, I promise. Even though that stinking clock is slow. It gets me every week, right? Because I think I'm good, and now I'm 5 minutes short. Okay. One thing, and I don't have a lot of time to point this out, but this is one thing that I found this morning. I thought this was really cool, right? The word coffin, I'm like, that's found in the Bible a lot, right? You know, I don't know that I know where the word coffin, you know, so I'm like, coffin, that's just interesting, right? They put him in a coffin. So I looked that up, and I'm definitely not a Greek and Hebrew kind of, but I do have Esword, and it does a pretty good job of it. So I look up the word, and I didn't write it down because nobody really cares what the number is, right? You can look it up. But the word coffin is used over 200 times in the Bible, that Greek word, or, yeah, Hebrew word, right? Hebrew and then the New Testament Greek, right? It's only as coffin one time. There's a couple times that it is used as, now my mind's blank. I'll have to think of it. But over 200 times, you know what it's used as? The word ark.
What?
The word ark. Every time that they talk about in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, the ark, the box that they put the most precious things in, right? That's the same thing that they put Joseph in. And I was like, that's just really kind of cool to me, right? It's over and over again. If you remember the Ark of the Covenant, that's the main thing that Israel had to have when they went into battle, right? What was in the Ark? Does anybody know the couple things that were in the Ark? Does anybody know any of the things that they had to keep in the Ark? Right? The actual tables of the Ten Commandments, right? They had Aaron's rod that budded. They kept that in there, right? Anything else? I know there's something else I can't think of. That's why I'm asking you. Those are the two things that I remember off the top of my head, right? Huh? I don't know. I'll look it up. I'll tell you next week because I feel like I'm leaving you hanging. But anyway, the most precious things that they had to have to survive, They put it in the ark. That's the same thing that they put Joseph in the box, right? I just thought that was cool. So anyway, I got to keep moving. So here's my first question as we wrap this whole thing up, right? As we've looked at Joseph and how he did a pretty good job, you know, and how we're kind of judging our own life by it. Because you guys know me. I'm not one to mince words, really. I want to put you on the spot. I want to put you at a point of decision because I want you to decide to follow Christ more every day, to decide to follow Christ more every week. So here's your first question, and I've asked you this before. How you living? How you living, right? And if you haven't taken the time to go and watch the 10-minute video, write it down. You can find it on YouTube. It's called Lessons of a Third Grade Dropout. Go watch it, and you'll know what I mean when I say how you living, right? But anyway, how you living? Where's your focus? Where is your, and this is like sub questions of the question, right?
Oh, that's not a question.
No. Where's your focus? Where's your focus? Where's your time, right? The things that you're focused on, the things that you spend the most time with, the things that you devote the most energy to, that tells me where your priorities are. Matthew 6:21 and Luke 12:34 say the same thing. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Right? Christ himself said it. Somebody flip over and read Colossians 3:1-3 really quick. I usually don't do the flipping thing, but we gotta get to it. Right? Colossians 3:1-3.
If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the world. It's really easy to get caught up in the shiny things we can get. Right? We chase a dollar, and we chase the things that a dollar can buy. And that's just life. We've got to keep our treasure with Christ, right? I don't think Joseph was chasing a dollar, and I think he did all right. Right? I don't think he was chasing a dollar, and I think he did all right. So how you living, right? Where are you at with it? How are you doing with it? Because at the end of the day, when I read this and I read Joseph's life, and I'm like, man, he stayed on point no matter what happened. He stayed on point. He stayed exactly where he was supposed to be, even when things really got hard, and I think I couldn't have done that. I think I would have fallen somewhere through there. So I'm looking at my life, and I'm like, okay, what can I change? What can I do? Where can I be better? Because I want to be able to be used by God like Joseph was, right? I really do. I desire that. I desire that for you guys, but I can't desire it for you. So I hope you desire that. So where can you grow, right? That's the third question. You'll get back to that in a minute. Sorry. Second question. Who are you living for, right? I ask you how you're living. Who are you living for? We went through the entire book of Genesis. How different would things have been if Joseph was living for himself, right? Dad likes me more than you, right? He could have been that kid, right? Or anything, right? When things go wrong, I'm going to throw a fit. Or you know, how different would the story have been if he would have been living for himself? Because that's what we do. We live for ourselves. We end up living for ourselves. You can't do both. It's either for you or for him, one or the other. And there is no kind of in-between. There is no, you're either living for yourself or you're living for God. You might be like, well, there's days. No, you're either living for you or you're living for God. All the time, right? And you might be like, well, you don't understand or you're right, I don't understand, right? But the Bible does and God does, right? You're either living for you or you're living for him. That's all there is to it. Luke 16:13 is the verse that talks about you can't serve two masters, right? You can go back and read it sometime if you want to. It's talking about you can't serve God and money. At the end of the day, you can't serve God and yourself at the same time. That's why it says you have to die to self to serve God. That's just the way it is, right? Joseph did that. I mean, if anybody in the Bible other than Christ portrayed dying to self, that would have been him. You know, it's been about the third time, right? You throw me in a pit. You sold me into slavery. Now I'm in prison. All right, I'm done. Right? I'm done. You're either living for God or you're living for him. Joseph changed the world. Now, I know you're going to be like, yeah, okay, that's kind of hyperbole. That's what the preacher's supposed to say, right? That's what the motivational speaker's supposed to say. Joseph changed the world by living for God. Why can't you? And you might be like, yeah, okay. I've seen people come through this church. So you're like, yeah, we're just hearing. I've seen people come through this church who are now halfway around the world, or just in different churches in the States, who are getting it done for Christ, changing the world for Christ. So don't say, yeah, I get it. No, you just don't want to. I'll call you out. You don't want to. And here's the third question. And this is where it really puts you on the spot. It puts me on the spot. And it just gives us, every time I get done with the study of Joseph, it just kind of, am I willing to grow? And yeah, I'm always willing to grow, right? Yeah, I need to learn that. I need to do that. I need to take that class. That's not what I'm talking about. You need to do those things, yeah, right? Discipleship, D2, whatever it is, you know? That's not what I'm talking about, though. I get it. I'll let you off the hook right now. I get it. Life's busy. Life is busy. We've all got jobs. We've all got houses or to pay for, or apartments to rent, or whatever we got, right? You know, there's things going on. There's babies. There's marriages. There's ministry. There's just all these things, right? I'm just thinking of through your guys' lives of the upcoming year, and I'm like, it would be really easy for the people of Past Point, and because that's where my mind's at when I'm putting this stuff together. It'd be really easy for us to think, well, we had a pretty good year. We've got some things coming up next year, so you know what? We're just gonna hang put. Let's see how things go, and then we'll take the next step. Okay. Well, let me tell you. You just hang put this coming year, and then there's gonna be a bunch of things coming the next year, and you're gonna be like, well, I'm just gonna idle through that year, right? And then here in a minute. Right here next year, here in 2 weeks, right? That was our saying forever. In 2 weeks, things are going to slow down, right? And you're going to realize 25 years later that I've still got things coming up. And I still haven't really grown in Christ because I didn't decide just to say, you know what? I'm going to do it. I get it that we've all got things coming up. And I'm excited for you guys. But don't let the things of this world get in the way of the things of God. Be willing to grow. Right? Don't get comfortable or content, because that's what happens. We're like, you know what? I'm in a pretty good church. You know, things are going pretty good, right? I'm just going to chill here for a minute, because this is nice. And the next thing you know, 30 years have went by, and things are still just nice. Right? Are you willing to grow? You know, I can teach through the Bible year after year after year, but man, if you guys don't grab a hold of it, if I don't grab a hold of it and do something about it, then I'm wasting my breath and I'm wasting your time. Right? Are you willing to grow? Right? I don't know exactly where all of you are at, but you do. And you know where you need to take that next step. You know where you need to grow in that area. You know where you need to do that, whatever it is. So just do it, man. Just do it. We got a choice to make. I'll finish with this. Flip over to John chapter 6. Judging by that clock, I'm on time, but I'm not. So I want to finish with this. John chapter 6. And this is actually going to lead really well into what I want to do for the first few weeks of January in Past Point. So, John chapter 6. Starting in verse 66. This is where we're at, guys. This is where we're at. It says, from that time, many of his disciples, not talking about the 12, but just followers of him, went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67, then Jesus said unto the 12, his core group, will ye also go away? That's your decision. Are you also going to be content? Verse 68 says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. At some point, we've got to decide that what good is it to stay right where you're at or to go backwards, right? So I say that's going to tie in well because the first few weeks of next year, I want to go through just kind of the core of what Passpoint means and what Roger Heath had behind it, right? And it starts there, right? And so I also, I don't know if you were here a few weeks ago, I told you we're going to do like a read through the Bible in a year, but this will be good because for the first few weeks, as we're going through Genesis, you just heard me teach through Genesis, so you don't need me to pick something out of Genesis and teach it again. So it'll work out good. I want to just go get back to the core of what Passpoint is, right, and biblically where we stand on it. And so that's where we're at. That's where we stand. Christ is saying, are we also going to be like the rest of the world? And we have to have the attitude that Peter did when we say, where else can we go? You got the words of eternal life. All right, let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father God, I love you. I thank you for your day. I thank you for the Passpoint class. And Lord, I just do thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives, Lord. It's just it's that time of year where we're going to get to spend time with family, Lord. We're going to get to spend time with friends and just people that normally wouldn't want to hear anything about you, but because of the season, we have reason to share it. So I do pray that we would just speak with utterance when you open a door, Lord. Lord, I do pray that we're not that we're not mean with the gospel, that we're not condemning with the gospel, but the gospel would be freeing. So I do pray that you would just give us opportunities to share what we have with someone else, because that's all we have, Lord, is you. So, Lord, I do thank you for just the study in Genesis and the life of Joseph, and I do pray that we are challenged to grow from this, that if this is just something that we hear and we walk out, Lord, then I have failed and we have failed you. So, Lord, I do pray that we are willing to challenge ourselves to grow. Lord, I pray that you would just use this upcoming year to do that. Give us opportunities to grow and to go. And do things for you. So, Lord, I pray that you just send us out this week as lights in a dark world. Just use us in this time of this season, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. All right, thanks, guys.
The pot of gold
that
had manna.
The Lord,
huh?
The pot of gold that had manna.